just Marina Rav Shlita. L'chaim Aruchim to Moram Greenwood for the outside of his father. And we, for his father, we say the Shir Le'iloi Nishmosa. I came into shul this morning and one person came up to me, somebody who's not in here now, and said, what's the bottom line? What's the answer? Yes or no? What he doesn't realize is by not coming here, he's losing out on the smoked salmon and the fresh bagels. It's a bit like a maths exam, because the examiner's not really interested in what your final answer is. He wants to know how you get to it. So if you want to know if you can listen to music in the shul, just go and ask the Rav. Don't come here. But we want to discuss what opinions are, what the reasons are, how we get to it, and if we can be a bit controversial, we will do so. But it's strangely enough, just last week, my wife had set an alarm on her phone, and it was going durr, 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 durr. I said, what's this? You always had some nice tune being played. And she said, well, you know, it's Sphera now. You mean I'm not allowed to hear your little tune on your alarm clock? I mean, alarm clocks, they're funny things, alarm clocks. I know of a case of a guy whose wife got very angry with him, and she, in her temper, threw the alarm clock at him, but she missed. He ducked. And he said, doesn't time fly? So, but it's not just alarm clocks. It's, you know, when I'm driving and I'm listening to classic FM, I'm not dancing away. Is it a joyous thing, or is it just something which calms my nerves down with all the stress and aggravation of the congestion of the London traffic? Does that mean I can't listen to classic FM during the Sphera? And what about if I'm going to a Keep Fit class, or you get these aqua classes where they're playing rhythm music so that people can do their exercise to it? Are you suggesting that you can't listen to that during the Sphera? Well, where does this come from? And indeed, some music is not joyful at all. You get funeral marches. Beethoven, Chopin, Mozart, they all wrote funeral marches, which can be very sad. Dum, dum, etc. Is that music I can't listen to in the Sphera? But even if it's ordinary music, even music which is pleasant, where is the source to say that I cannot listen to it in the Sphera? Everybody's telling me. I got a friend who listens all the time to classic FM. When it comes to Sphera, he turns his car radio over to LBC. Boring that it is, but it's a talk station, so he's not listening to music. Where is the source? Because if we're going to look in the sources and be very honest about it, we're going to have a bit of a difficulty in finding any prohibition about listening to music in the Sphera. Indeed, if you talk about having a heter to listen to music, first let's find the issa. And you know, you get other kinds of music which can arouse people in their sentiment and their feeling towards the Yiddishkeit, Shirei Regesh, where you can have songs, emotional songs, which can bring a person feeling nearer to Yiddishkeit. Is it a davar shel simcha? We know that the time of the Sphera was a time of mourning for the 24,000 pupils of Rabbi Akiva. But, you know, I was once giving some shirim at a summer school, and they had a Jewish group coming along playing Jewish songs, like a Jewish pop group. And so one of the rabbis there said to me, what's this going on here? I said, well, it's good because the teenagers who hear it, they hear Shirei Kodesh. And he said to me, tell me, do they wear tzitzis? Which I thought was a bit sarcastic, because the people on that group I knew very well, and are observant, very conscientious Jews, and one of them is sitting in the room right now. And so I said to him, look, you know, it's Makarov people to Yiddishkeit. It might not be Makarov you or me, but the young generation, they hear these Shirei Kodesh, it's good for them. So, all right, that wasn't then in the Sphera, but there is a question about music the whole year round. So what's the situation? Well, let's start with the Gemara in Yevamos. Yevamos Samach Bei says, Amru Shnei Masor Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyle Rabbi Akiva. There were 12,000 couples, pairs of pupils, which Rabbi Akiva had. Why did it say pairs? Because Rabbi Akiva had the effort of making them into chavrusas and partners so that they could learn to be respectful towards each other. One was learning from one another. So it doesn't say the word 24,000. And it was an amazing number of people. Can you imagine? 24,000. It must be about the population of Hendon. They all died from a plague, because they were not honoring each other. And the world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva got to some other Rabbonim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elozar, Ben Shemua, and they supported the Torah. But can you imagine these 24,000 pupils of Rabbi Akiva? They must have been very great Talmidei Chachomim, being pupils of Rabbi Akiva.
Would you know their names?
Some of them.
Going to make a Haskara?
Really? No, there's a reason why we
don't speak. I don't know their names. Meisu mipesach ad atzeres. Om Rav Chama bar Yitzchak ben Rabbi Chiya bar Rabin kulam meisu misarol. They all had a very nasty death. Mahi, what was it? Omar Rav Nachman, iskara. Iskara is a very serious throat infection, painful for death, and it's generally thought that this was diphtheria. So sad that it is. If we bring this down to halacha, right through to the Shulchan Aruch, we have the custom not to marry between Pesach and Shavuos until Lag BaOmer, because the pupils of Rabbi Akiva died. But if one wants an engagement or erusin, which is really the marriage to make an eishes ish, and even if one does get married, it's not an avera that we punish for it. You know, he wants to grab the girl before somebody else does. All right. So not nishlas oiga fairlif. Nagim shaloli stape. And so the practice is not to have a haircut at Lag BaOmer. So they're different minhagim after Lag BaOmer or before Rosh Chodesh. All right. Okay. Whatever it is, we won't go down that route. There's a practice not to have haircuts. So we know about weddings, we know about haircuts. Why didn't say anything about music? Nothing here in the Shulchan Aruch. Nothing at all. So if we then look in the Mishnah Berurah, again, he doesn't say anything about music at all. What he does say is something about dancing. He says, and he brings this down from the Magen Avraham, you can make an engagement and you can make a suza for it. But dancing, negu iso. Rikudim mechulos are two different kinds of dancing. Mechulos is really like when people dance in a circle together. Rikudim is where people might dance separately as individuals. But it's all dancing. Because she came to share rikudim mechulos, shel rishus. So all the more so, if it's not an engagement, but it's just to happen to be a social get-together, people start dancing, that is not allowed, says the Magen Avraham. But that doesn't say anything about music. That doesn't say anything about classic FM. So where on earth is there a prohibition of not listening to music? All right, you might say to me that there is an inyan about not listening to music the whole year round. Zeichel Chorban, in memory of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdosh. In Gittin, Daf Zayin, we talk about not listening to music, Zeichel Chorban, and Rashi says even vocal music at a banquet would not then be allowed. And Tosfos there says it's where Shemis Aneg V'yose, where there's increase or excessive enjoyment, but it's okay for a suras mitzvah. So if you have a wedding and a bar mitzvah and a siyum and a bris, yeah, okay, so you'll have music. But the whole year round, there are opinions that you shouldn't have music at all because of Zeichel Chorban Beis HaMikdosh. And that's, we're talking now about real music. I mean, I'm not talking about the sort of loud banging you get with shepherds you nowadays when you go to some of these weddings. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tanis, Perek Hey Halacha Yudalud, he says, instrumental music is always forbidden the whole year round. If it's vocal, well, if wine is being served, but Shirei Kodesh, that's okay. Magen Avraham brings this down. And then the Ramah comes along and says, for the Minhag Ashkenazi, he says it's okay to play music during the year, unless it's something very frequent that you're doing the whole time, like when the king wakes up, he's got music being played to him, and he goes to bed, he's got music playing to him, so it's something frequent, or if it's a festive banquet. If it's a festive banquet, then you don't play music, unless it is a Sudas Mitzvah. And the Sri De'esh, Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg writes, in Siman Tehzayin, he says, really, he is frowning upon people who go to concerts just during the year where there's no real celebration. But according to the Ramah, it's really only if there's a banquet of a simcha, you know, something where you're really festive, then there may be a prohibition of music. Or as we said before, if it's something very frequent. Shaar Tzion, that's the Mishnah Berurah, says in Sif Kot and Kaf Gimel, only if there's a party with wine. If there is food and wine, it's not so terrible. But if it's just wine, because wine, the emphasis is on something which is really enjoyment, which is done as a tanug and not simply for nourishment. The Meiri, although oddly the manuscripts of the Meiri we only found much later, even though he was a Rishon, and so some of these sources may have not seen the Meiri. The Meiri writes on Gittin Daf Zayin and on Sota Memches. He says music is forbidden only if it's something which is vulgar and lewd, where it might be arousing erotic feelings or something like that. But otherwise, if it's not frivolity, there's nothing wrong with music at all during going by the whole year round. And this is brought down by Rav Avadi Yosef in Yechavedas in his first Chelek, chapter 45, and also volume 634, that Shirei Kodesh are okay. But again, well, that's talking about the whole year round, and nowadays with Somech on the Ramor, who is lenient that you don't have to worry about Zeichel or Chorbon unless it's a banquet or something like that. But that leaves us still with a question. What about the Sphira? Why are people saying don't listen to music in Sphira? And not only the Sphira, but also the 3 weeks between Shivas of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And Rav Aaron Epstein notes this omission, it seems, in Halacha, in his Shadash Shuvas Kapei Aaron Siman Nun Beis. He says there is no mention anywhere about the Issur of playing music. And as regards an Ovel, in his 12 months of Avelus, of mourning, does it say anything about an Ovel not listening to it? It doesn't. All right, you could say, because this is, in any case, there is a prohibition of Zeichel HaKorban. Therefore, you could say the Paschim never bothered mentioning anything about the Sphira, because there's this idea of prohibiting music the whole year round. So therefore, it wasn't necessary to say anything about the Sphira. And therefore, there's no need for a ban, because that ban already exists in one form or another. And the Magen Avraham, who is really the earliest source who comes near to this, is only talking about dancing, Rikudim and Mechonos, which the Mishnah Berurah we quoted. So the first reference I have found to music is the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan was only about 150 years ago. Then Tov Tzadi Gimel, he says, the prohibition is Rikudim and Mecholos of dancing. So he says, Kal Vachomer, all the more so to musical instruments. But in my limited capability, I don't understand this being a Kal Vachomer. To say that you can't dance and therefore all the more so you can't have music, I might have understood it the other way around. You can't have music and then all the more so you can't dance. But to say you can't dance and all the more so music, I have difficulty with that. And as we said, you know, you got music which are funeral marches. Does it mean you can't listen to those during the Sphira and the 3 weeks? So, again, there's another strange source. Rav Menashe Klein, who writes in his Mishnah Halachas, in his volume 8, chapter 188, he says, well, if we forbid music, then, sorry, if we forbid dancing, then music, it comes in the same category. So he doesn't see it as a Kal Vachomer, but he bunches it together. But again, I have difficulty with that, because if something is forbidden, and even if it's just a minag, it would be an old established custom, surely there would be some established poskim who would write in a clear-cut way, but all we really have from the Gemara, from the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, is absence of weddings and absence of haircuts, and nothing is written about music. Well, before you run along and say, oh, well, we went to the bagel breakfast show, so we can now play everything we want now and go to concerts, there is a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av which says on the morning of the 10th of Av, the day after Tisha B'Av, we don't listen to music till lunchtime. So the chumras we have, or the prohibitions we practice in the 9 days, we extend into the 10th of Av, because the Beis HaMikdash was still burning, so we don't eat meat or drink wine, and he says we don't listen to music. So there you've got something written about music. But that's the 9 days, or the 10 days, or the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is more strict than the Sphira. In the 3 weeks, we don't say the Brach of Shechionu, except maybe on Shabbos, according to the Chaz. So where are we at? We're still back to our question about Sphira, because Sphira, although we're mourning the loss of 24,000 holy people, the Sphira we don't treat in the same severity as we do the 3 weeks. So where are we at? Let's come to Dain Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchok. He was the Abbeisdin of Manchester and then afterwards of the Badatz in Yerushalayim. And he writes in his Minchas Yitzchok, in Chelek Aleph, Kuf Yud Aleph, he says, it's simply the fact that this is our common practice. We simply do not play music in the Sphira. That is our minhag. That's our custom. He doesn't quote a source because there isn't one. He says that is our custom and that what we do is what we do. And a minhag, according to the Chasam Sofer, a minhag, a custom, if you do it regularly, is like a vow, is like a neder. And a neder is an issa daraisa, it's forbidden in a Torah. So therefore, if there is an established custom that you don't listen to music during the Sfira, then you should treat that minhag as a neder, and you should comply with it. Such is the view of Dain Weiss. And he relies on an opinion he quotes from Rav Shalom Shvadron in Das Torah Chaim Tosfos Tzadi Gimel, where he talks about if you have a wedding on Lag BaOmer, well, of course you play music. He writes, Rav Shalom Shvadron says that when you have your wedding on Lag BaOmer, you should be careful to finish off your Seuda and the music before it gets dark in the evening. And that is a source for Dain Weiss. And he quotes the Prima Godim, who also discusses the idea of music in the 3 weeks, where a professional musician is allowed to play for Goyim during the 3 weeks, because that is his livelihood, and he's not doing it for enjoyment, he's doing it because he's earning a living. So a Jewish musician is allowed to play at a non-Jewish event during the 3 weeks. Except the 9 days, he doesn't even allow it in the 9 days. And that's accepted by the Maram Shik in the Yeridah, Shun Sadiches, and also the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings this down. But again, that is talking about the 3 weeks. It's not talking about the Sphira, although that mention of Lag BaOmer, Rav Shalom Shvadron, of ending the day. Prima Gonim is the 3 weeks, where you don't say Shechion. I mean, I've got another question. I once had a very great personal difficulty. Because I was once, in my younger, innocent days, I was asked to be a chairman at a Bar Mitzvah Suda. And this Bar Mitzvah Suda was to take place the night before Lag BaOmer. So it was starting off on day 32 of the Omer, and it was to carry on into the evening. And the host of this Bar Mitzvah said to me, listen, Eli, could you do us a favor? Because our rabbi said to us that we shouldn't be playing any music at the Bar Mitzvah Suda, because of Sphira, until it's Nacht. And when it's Nacht, which is at 9 o'clock in the evening, then you can start playing music. And it's a bit awkward for us, you know, we're paying this musician for the whole evening, and at the end of the day, he's only playing his music for an hour and a half, and, you know, why shouldn't we have music for the whole evening? And being the naive guy that I was, I phoned up this rabbi. I mean, you're better off just accepting any role of what he says without challenging it. But I wanted to understand his reasoning, because somehow something didn't gel in my mind. Number one, if there is an Isser to play music in the Sphira, then surely it would be up to and including the 33rd day, because part of the day is like the whole day. So that when you have your hair cut, you don't have your hair cut on the night of Lag BaOmer, because you haven't reached yet 33 days. The 33rd day is in the morning, just like with a Shiva Nebuch, you have a part of the day like the whole day. So on the 33rd day you have your hair cut in the morning once the day has already started. So if there is a prohibition of music, surely that prohibition extends up to the daytime. So why are you forbidding it up to part of the day, the Suda, and then from the 9 o'clock onwards it doesn't gel? Then there's another problem I had, and that is, and the Shalos Shuvos Yichavedas, Rav Avadi Yosef says that the practice of not playing music in the Sphira doesn't apply to the Sudas Mitzvah. So if you have a Sudas Mitzvah, like a Bar Mitzvah or whatever, then you're allowed to have music. So again, I was having difficulty with what this Rav was saying, so I phoned him up. I tried to be very humble about it, and I said, look, I hope you don't mind me asking, but I would just like to understand the idea behind it. But you said to my friends that they can't have music till 9 or 9:30 p.m. and there's obviously practical difficulties, but you know, if it's a Sudas Mitzvah and the Chavidah says you can have music a Sudas Mitzvah, and in any case Lag BaOmer, he was very offended with me. He said, do you realize, he said, that once I give these people a finger, they take a whole hand, and it's a slippery slope, and once you allow one thing, then they go in and have lots of other things, which I thought was a rather odd answer to give, because frankly, all I wanted to do was understand the rationale behind starting your music at 9 p.m. in the evening. Either you can for the whole evening or you can't for the whole evening. But he wouldn't accept my logic and he took it personally. But he has since been speaking to me because I did Kriyas HaTorah in his shul and he came up to me with a very warm shkoyach. But I didn't want to offend him. I wanted to understand the logic of it. So that question is still not resolved. But the view of Rav Avadi Yosef in Yechaved Das about having music at a Sudas Mitzvah is not a universal view. There are others who will say, no, during Sfira, even a Sudas Mitzvah, you will withhold from playing music, based on Dain Weiss. And there is, in fact, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He also is leaning towards the stricter view, Aruch Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Kuf Samach Vav, and also in Yeridea, Chelek Beis, Kuf Lama Zayin, again in Aruch Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Pei Zayin. There he says, we rely on the Ramah to allow music during the year in the normal fashion, if it's not a major banquet, or the frequent, but that prohibition of music during the year, Zeichel Chorban, we maintain it in the Sfira and the 3 weeks. And Rav Avadi Yosef generally goes according to that. He says if it's not a Sudas Mitzvah, but Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that we will have the practice of not playing music at that time. And that's really, though, talking about joyful music, right? Well, it gives you a good feeling, where you might feel like getting up and dancing. But what about if you're just getting a relaxed calmness from listening to Beethoven's 7th Symphony in A Major? What's the situation there? Is Rav Moshe Feinstein and Dain Weiss saying you can't listen to those? Rav Osner is also strict in Sheva Alevi, because he leans on this prohibition for the whole year round. And Rav Zev Cohen writes in Beis Pesach L'Shavuos, he says, even if it's local, if it's arousing people to want to have dancing, then it should be avoided. Well, what about radios and CDs generally? Could you not say that it's not really live music? It's really just playing the sound waves. There are some differences of opinion on that. There's a novel idea given by Rav Breisch in his Chelkas Yaakov, Simon Samach Dalet. He said that if there was ever a gezeira about music, and there was for the whole year round, it can't apply to listening to music on the radio because radios didn't exist then. And therefore, when the radio came along, although it might sound very good with your hi-fi stereo, it's not the playing of instruments as was originally decreed. So in his view, there's nothing wrong in listening to music on the radio because the gezeira didn't apply to it. You can't see the singer or the people playing the instruments. It's a different quality of music, he said. But his view is not universal. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who in fact was the Rav of our Rav here, he writes in his Halichas Shlomo, although some of what he writes was not from his hand, but was written by his Talmudim. And very strangely, he writes something which appears to contradict something in another volume. He writes in his volume 1:13, he says, Einish tamesh b'shon ma'oreh alidei negino. He says, you shouldn't really have music being played by your alarm clock. The kol shekein beklatos, that klatos means recordings, tapes, CDs, kidei lahakitz min hashenot. In order to wake up, he said, avoid playing music, because he sees this as falling within this idea of the king having music when he wakes up, and the king having music when he goes to bed, so it's frequent, just like the banquet, so he wants to avoid it. But strangely, Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Chelek Gimel, in chapter 14, he says, Hashira shenagin bo isor b'mei bein ha-metzorim. That kind of music which we forbid in the 3 weeks, more so Sfira, but that kind of music which we refrain from in the 3 weeks, eino elo misuk hashirim hama'orin narikud. That is only the music which can make you get up and feel like dancing. Now maybe your alarm clock is giving you that sort of music because you want to get out of bed and start dancing. Miskabekari lamad baboke. You've got to get up like a lion, and in order to do that, maybe you want to play music which makes you dance out of bed. But he is saying in Chelek Gimel about the 3 weeks that the prohibition of music is only relating to that kind of music which will make you feel like getting up to dance, because that's the enjoyment which you want to avoid at a time of mourning. Whereas other kinds of music, You know, okay, so you might feel like dancing to Mozart's 40th, but when you listen to Sibelius's Finlandia, you won't necessarily feel like dancing. You'll just say, oh, that's a nice tune. And therefore, he allows Chazonus and classical music, Me'ikar Adin, but then he says, but there are some who will be Machmir. But Me'ikar Adin, you want to hear Chazonus? When you hear Chazonus, you certainly don't feel like dancing. Some kinds of Chazonus, well, you might... I'm not insulting any Chazonim. We have here the son of a very famous pronounced Chazon. But Chazonus, Me'ikar Adin, you can listen to during the Sfira.
What about the doorbell?
Right. Well, well, if you Paskin like my wife, and you know why they call me rabbi, because my wife is a rebbitzin, she won't allow it on the doorbell. But you're not going to dance when your doorbell. In fact, when your doorbell rings, you might run away through the back door. So, Rav Huttner writes that as there is no true joy and simcha coming from playing a CD, you're not going to dance as a result of playing a CD, then it's okay. And this is also the view of Rav Chaim David HaLevi in the Shalosh Shuvos Aseh L'Chorav, Volume 3, Chapter 4. Chelkas Yaakov leans towards allowing it when it's just a CD. But Rav Ovadia Yosef is not really happy about this, because he says some kinds of taped music or CD music is the sort you would play at a wedding, and it can arouse people to dancing. In fact, at my wedding in Switzerland, we couldn't get a decent band, or the nearest one was in France, and they were really pathetic. You saw what they played and you felt like falling asleep. So we ended up having cassette tapes, as it was in those days, for our wedding, which was in Basel, Switzerland, because we couldn't find a band in that area, and it went okay. But however, for a Sudas Mitzvah, Rav Ovadia, as we said, allows for a Pidyon HaBen, for a Siyum, for a Bar Mitzvah, and this is also the view of the Rav Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul in his Ola Tzion, Chapter 3. Since it's only a custom to refrain from music during the Sfira, it is perfectly okay for a Sudas Mitzvah. Rav Mordechai Willig, he says, there is no source for prohibiting this music, as long as there is no dance. So it's all right in the Sfira. Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik writes, he says, neither Chazal nor the Rishonim created any new category of Avelus for the 3 weeks or the Sfira. He writes it, it might sound like a chiddush, but he says, look in the sources. There is no prohibition there. He says, it's true that the Ovel, who is mourning, is restrained from a simcha mireus, from friendly socials, from social gatherings where there is enjoyment and laughter and drinks of wine, so the Ovel will keep away from that. But it doesn't say anything about music. So according to him, the Ovel can drive his car and play a CD. Whereas, you know, a private music at home, you put on something, he doesn't see anything wrong with that with a novel. And Rav Sternbuch writes, Rav Sternbuch is the brother-in-law of Diane Ernst, he says, if you go to a Keep Fit class, yeah, an aqua class, during the Sfira, of course you can listen to the music. It's not giving you simcha. In fact, when you do a hard, tough workout, then it might not be simcha at all. It might be giving you a lot of pain.
Does that come under the category of dance?
He does not regard these aqua classes where you're exercising together with other people in the water as dance. That's not called rikudim and macholos. That's not what Chazal meant when they spoke about rikudim and macholos.
Aerobic classes or something like that.
Yeah, aerobic classes, that's not rikudim and macholos. It might look a bit like dancing, but listen, if you want to go machmer, we're not stopping you. There's unterhalb. We all need a bit of keep fit occasionally, but let's look at the sources if we're going to find an Issur. And there's a very interesting thing written by Rav Pinchas Scheinberg. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, he says, nowadays, he says, we get a lot of depression amongst people, particularly young people. And for them, when they play music, it's a kind of refuah. There is something therapeutic about music. And some people might have difficulty going to sleep, and they play some music, it calms them down, it makes them relax. That's not simcha, that's not dancing. It is simply something which gives you a calmness and a peace of mind. And he, and there are some others who say this as well, perfectly allowed, even in Sfira and in the 3 weeks. So there you have it. Now, when it comes to halacha psukah, every personal query should be forwarded to your own rabbinical authority. So when this person came up to me this morning and said, yes or no, he wanted to go off without having to go through the bagels and smoked salmon, and I said to him, ask the Rav. That's what you're meant to do if you've got a personal query. See whatever the Rav says. That's what you do. All we're doing when we have our breakfast is to discuss the different opinions, and we might then ask our Shaila, saying, is it all right if I go according to so-and-so, or am I allowed to be Machmir? Right? That is the situation. But if you look in the sources from the Gemara, the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't say anything about not playing music in the Sfira. So I'm sorry to shock you if I did, but the whole idea behind it all is to reflect in the Sfira that we are in a period of Avedus for the 24,000 pupils of Rabbi Akiva, which was not just sad in the fact that these people died, but they were great Talmid HaChomim, so it was a loss to the Torah world. All the teaching of Torah and learning of Torah, which could have taken place had these people survived. Which brings us to really a more profound question. How is it possible that 24,000 Talmidim, it's a bit like even asking questions about the Holocaust. How could Hashem make or let this happen? Certainly with the Holocaust, we discussed this before. We don't ask where was God, we ask where was man. But here there was a Magefa, which was clearly Minash Shemayim, that 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva should die.
But we have in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time there were millions of people in Yerushalayim who were killed. We had in the Holocaust, we do have millions of people who are killed. We don't celebrate a single day. We use Tisha B'Av to commemorate the killing of all those people one day. And there's no other occasion where we commemorate, we have a fast day for commemorating people's deaths. So why are we keeping 33 days of mourning for, even if it is 24,000?
We started off with the Gemara from Yavama, Samach Beis, which says that the 33 days is because those 33 days, some say it went into the 34th day, that Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, and that is specifically the Avelus of the Sfira. Because why did they die?
But you have had plenty of other cases where plenty more people were killed, murdered, massacred, and we don't do it.
Agreed. But Talmidei Chachamim should know better.
But what are their names? We don't even know who they are. Rabbi Akiva. We don't commemorate his date of death in the calendar and fast on his Yom Nisa.
It is sad when anybody dies. But let's just reflect on something which was discussed briefly last night at the Siyum of Rav Cooper's and son. There was mention made by Henry about the sons of Rav Popo, that at a Siyum we mention all these Ronnie Bar Popo, etc., and it's something which does sound a bit odd. Why are we mentioning the 10 sons of Rav Popo? And Henry quoted his father-in-law Rav Cooper, who spoke about the sons of Rav Popo all dying prematurely, and so we remember them at a time of a Siyum. I have come across another opinion, and that is that Rav Popo made it his job to go into every main machlokas, and 10 are listed in fact, and I've got the Mar Makomas for them, and he went through every machlokas to try and reconcile, to show there wasn't really machlokas, in order to make peace between these Rabbonim who were arguing. So much so that the children of Shammai and Hillel, they were marrying each other. They weren't fighting each other, but they had different viewpoints about halacha. But the most important thing, that when we learn Torah, is to make peace between others. Somebody went up to the Gera Rebbe, the previous Gera Rebbe, Imre Emes, and asked him, why is it that the Shabbos before Pesach, we have a special name, Shabbos Haggadah? And the Shabbos before Sukkot, which is usually Shabbos Shuvah, we have a special name. But we don't seem to have a special name for the Shabbos before Shavuos. So this 4 weeks' time, it's Parshas Bamidbar. What is the name of that Shabbos? So the Imre Emes said, yes, there is a name we give to this Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Derech Eretz. Because Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Before you accept the Torah on Shavuos, we have to relate well to other people. We have to treat other people with respect. We have to behave like menshen. The pupils of Rabbi Akiva did not respect each other. Each one was haughty and proud and disrespected the other one. And for that they died.
And that was more serious than any other deaths which you might get in a pogrom or otherwise, because they should have known better. Because of the stature that they were in Limud HaTorah, the Limud HaTorah is worthless if people do not have respect for each other and love for each other. What's the first thing you say when you come into shul in the morning? Ma tovu alecha Yaakov Mishkano Secho Yisrael. Why do you say Ma tovu? Bilam Arosha, we're quoting to start off our day. But he saw that we had respect for each other, that our doors and windows did not look into each other. We respected each other's privacy. The preliminary to davening to Hashem is first have respect for your fellow man. If you haven't got respect for your fellow man or fellow woman, then all your davening is worthless, all your learning is worthless. That is why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Let's put our house in order. Baruch Hashem, here we have a community where we like a large family, and there's a fantastic achdus. In fact, six people offered me a lift last night. It's amazing. This is the spirit of North Endless. But we have to spread the word. We need an achdus. We need a togetherness. Because if the Derech Eretz is not there, if the Menschlichkeit is not there, then all the learning and all the davening is of no worth. And with that, may you have a very enjoyable Shabbos Derech Eretz and a very happy Shavuos Chag Sameach. Thank you.